Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 33, and we read the verse. It said, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Now, many times in Scripture, we find the casting of lots. They would take, kind of like, you know, you draw straws and one's short, right? And you pull it out and like, who gets the long one? And all of a sudden one's, oh, I got the short one. Or maybe we'd say today people are rolling dice, all right? And they see who, whatever number the dice is, that's what it means. You know, whoever gets the number, snake eyes, you know, you're out. When I was a kid, we used to play marbles, right? And then Jesus said, marble not, so we don't do that. No, but, you know, so games of chance, right? Different things like that. Or maybe, you know, they would cast her in the Bible, in the book of Esther, talks about that. But they would cast lots, a thing of random chance. Like, okay, if you roll a dice, you can get 1 to 6, right? If you play with my wife, she gets Yahtzee all the time because the dice are loaded. Don't ask me what that means, but Brother Eric told me what that means, all right? Now, when the children of Israel divided the land after they left Egypt and wandered in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to skip some of these things here because of time. If you look this up, it's in Numbers chapter 26. They settled according to tribe, and the Bible says by lot. So they came into the promised land, and Joshua said, okay, now, the way we're going to make this fair, right? Everybody wants to live next to the palm tree and the spring. The way we're going to make it fair is we're going to settle it by lot. So you're going to come up first, and we're going to roll the dice, we're going to cast the lot, and whatever, whoever gets this one, it's the area over here on the top, all right? That's so the first one, oh, Simeon, here you are. Okay, next one, Dan, oh, you're over here, Dan. Oh, which one is it? Oh, good, I got the good one. Yeah, it's sticking their tongue out, right? So they're casting a lot, and they're figuring out who's going to live where. So the tribal divisions, if we look at Leviticus chapter 16, I did all these, all right, so put it on your connection card, Pastor, I need all those references, all right? Then I'll email it to you. Okay, this week. You'll keep me really busy, right? But I did study. Now, the scapegoat was chosen by lot. They would take two goats, and they would say, okay, we're going to sacrifice one, and we're going to use one as a scapegoat. You ever heard that term before? Scapegoat? We're going to put all the sins are going to be on that scapegoat here, and we're going to turn it loose into the wilderness. So that one was chosen by lot in Leviticus chapter 16. Saul and Jonathan were chosen. Remember, they won a victory, and Saul said, don't eat anything. If anybody eats anything, they're going to die. And so his son Jonathan goes over, and he dips the tip of his staff there and some honey, and he eats it, and God says, somebody disobeyed. Who is it? If it's me, if it's my family, kill us all. So Saul goes over here, Jonathan goes over there, they cast lots, and they're chosen. Saul looks at Jonathan, he goes, what did you do? Did you eat something? Jonathan goes, yeah, I ate some honey. And long story, but they cast lots. Now, to determine who governed the people, in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, they cast lots. They said, okay, we're going to see who's going to be the governor. They cast lots. The divine responsibilities of the temple service. They had lots of things to do, especially deals with like the music ministry of the temple. They cast lots. Can you imagine? You get a guy who can't sing, right? That'd be exciting. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. So they cast lots. Who's going to be the music player? Who's going to play the instruments? So these were casting lots. How about Jonah? You can't forget about Jonah, right? He's out there on the ship running from God, and the storm comes, and everybody's throwing everything overboard, and even the heathen mariners said, hey, whose fault is this? And they cast lots. And the Bible said the lot fell on Jonah. And he said, yeah, it was me. I did it. Can you see what our verse says? The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, they could have chose anybody, but we wouldn't have the book of Jonah if they threw somebody else over, right? Like, Jonah's like, I got away with it, all right? They cast lots. Jonah was chosen. That's in Jonah chapter 1. How about this? Our Savior, as he's being crucified on the cross, you remember? They had his vesture. They had his garments. They didn't want to tear it in pieces. Hey, here's a nice coat. Let's take it and just quarter it. Here's a piece for you. That's great. Now I got something to wipe the floor with. They said, let's cast lots for it and see who can get the whole thing. And so they cast lots. That's in John chapter 19. It's also in Psalm chapter 22. Look, turn there. Turn to Psalm chapter 22. It's close by Proverbs, right? Psalm chapter 22. Matthias, the 12th apostle to take the place of, remember who? Judas Iscariot, right? How did they choose him? Well, they were very careful. They prayed a lot. We'll look at that in just a second. Chapter 22 of Acts. I'm sorry, not Acts. Psalms. Thank you. Instead of my preaching. All right. Verse number 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That's it. Jesus' vesture had lots cast for it. All right, look at Acts chapter 1, because this is important. Acts chapter 1. As they're choosing this apostle to take the place of Judas Iscariot, who died, Peter stands up and he begins giving them instruction. And he's very careful, and I'll just begin reading at verse 15, and we're going to read a bunch of verses, so if you get there, just pick it up along after verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had attained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers all at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who is surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So these two, they picked out two. They said, all right, here are two qualified candidates. They've been with us. They've been walking with Christ. They're part of this group of disciples, not the apostles, but the disciples. So we're picking two, Joseph, which is called Barsabas, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now, I don't think we should walk around the house casting lots on things. You know, I'm going to make all my decisions based on casting lots. Okay, well, I don't think that's a good idea. But we understand here, this is what they were doing here in the Bible at this time. We understand this is God did direct the lot in a certain way for the division of the tribes, for the scapegoat, for Saul and Jonathan being chosen, for the governing of the people, for the responsibility of the temple service, for Jonah, for Jesus, a vesture from Matthias. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 14. So here they are, and they're making this decision about casting a lot. They mentioned the story a little bit. Verse 41, 1 Samuel 14:41. Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. So what did Samuel do? He said, before we're going to cast a lot, we're going to pray. God, give a perfect lot. God, have your will in this lot. And he did. So let me draw this into a thought here. Again, I'm watching the time. Tuesday is election day. We're not casting lots. We're casting votes. Now, for the Lord to dispose thereof, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. For the Lord to dispose thereof, we cast a lot. We do something. Ultimately, the Lord makes the decision. Now, Samuel prayed. Lord, give a just lot, give a righteous lot, give the lot that you want. The disciples prayed. Even the heathen mariners feared Jonah's God. Now, I want you to look at a story. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, Daniel finds himself in captivity in Babylon. The king, the ungodly heathen king, his name is Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that? Now, Babylon is a world power. Babylon has plundered Jerusalem, destroyed Israel, taken away all the treasures of the temple, taken away all the people, prisoners of war. Daniel finds himself in a heathen, strange land. Most of the Old Testament revolves around that story. Now here Nebuchadnezzar is the king. He's in charge. He's ruthless. Daniel is one of his men who is a principal a counselor in the economy here. He finds himself in Babylon. And so Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he dreams and he says, I have seen a tree, and the tree is a great tree, and all the animals of the beasts of the field are living under the shade of this tree. And then watchers came down from heaven. They cut down the tree and they put a band around the trunk of the tree and seven times passed over. And so he calls for all the wise men, all the soothsayers, everybody. And finally, Daniel is called. And Daniel comes and he says, you know what, king? And he loved the king and he worked with the king and he had an excellent spirit. But he said, here's the message. Look at verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. I want you to think about that. Just think about that verse for a second. God is in charge. And whatever the lot is that is cast, God decides, this is what I'm going to do. This is what you need. This is what you deserve. This is my will. And so he said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are going to be the king who is going to be in Babylon, who's going to chasten my people Israel, who's going to destroy my beloved city of Jerusalem, the apple of God's eye, who is going to destroy the temple and take all the treasures and carry them away. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Listen, they weren't in Jerusalem when that happened. They were in Babylon. The children of Israel said, we hung our harps on the willow tree. We can't sing the Lord's song. We're in the heathen land. Ezekiel and so many books of the Bible were written in captivity. So God knew that there would be a time where he'd have to have different people in charge of his people that wouldn't even be righteous people. So he said, the Most High ruleth and setteth over it the kingdoms, the basest of men. Look at verse 25. Then that they shall drive thee. So here's Daniel talking to Nebuchadnezzar from men. And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of the heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So the first is a general message. Everybody needs to know. Then God says, Nebuchadnezzar, you need to know that the Most High ruleth. Then look at verse number 32. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Do you see a theme here? God is in charge. God rules. God puts people in charge, and God takes people out of charge. God does that. Now, what should we do? We should still do our part. But ultimately, God is in control. Let's look at this quickly. A Christian's responsibility on election day. A Christian's responsibility on election day. Number one, your vote is a stewardship. You have a privilege and an opportunity to vote as a citizen of the United States of America. It is a privilege. Most countries don't have that privilege. They wake up in the morning and they have some dictator, or maybe somebody got overthrown overnight and they live in some, you know, crazy situation, and their life is probably in jeopardy every day. We don't have that situation going on here. We have freedom. We have an opportunity of an election, and it is our privilege. But a vote is a stewardship. God will require our stewardship. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36 that God will require every idle word at the day of judgment. You mean God keeps track of our words? Apparently he does. Every idle word, God said in Matthew 12, verse 36, I'm going to require it. That's the word he uses. I'm going to require it at the day of judgment. Boy, a lot of words I'd like to take back. How about you? We need to be a steward of our words. You remember the three servants that the Lord went into a far country and he said, I'm going to give five talents to one, two talents to another, and one talent to another, right? He said, occupy till I come. That's a picture of Jesus going to heaven and he's coming back. What happened? He took those servants when he came back and he said, okay, there's a day of reckoning. That's what it's called, a day of reckoning. All right, what'd you do with the five I gave you? Well, I traded and made another five. What'd you do with the two? I made two more. What'd you do with the one? I hid it and put it in a napkin in the ground. He says, you're wicked, because it's a stewardship. If you are eligible to vote, you need to vote. That's the first thing. Your vote is a stewardship. Now, could we take the approach that the church did regarding the serious matter of choosing an apostle? They chose between two spiritually qualified men. Now, our situation is not a comparison like that. Okay, we do not have spiritually qualified people that we're choosing. We're not choosing an apostle, right? We're choosing a politician, the basest of men sometimes, okay? Not all the time. But our situation is not a comparison like that. In many cases, even between secular non-Christian candidates, listen, we are choosing between good and evil. This election is between sanity and insanity. That's what we're choosing between. We've been going down the road to insanity for a while. Now, let me be very clear, okay? Let me be very clear. You'll have no question about this, okay? I think most of us live in New Hampshire. All of us do, okay? I don't know where you're joining us. Probably from some other country, right? Twitter's watching. Okay, no, just kidding. Caroline Leavitt is pro-life. That's a good choice. Okay, that's good. Chris Pappas is pro-abortion. They're running against each other. Lord, would you show me which of these two would have your vote? Okay. If my mother had an abortion during her only pregnancy, would I be here today? If my mother, my dad's sitting right here, one pregnancy, right? If my mother had an abortion during her only pregnancy, would I be here today? Hello? No, I would not be here today. So guess what happens during an abortion? Somebody dies. Okay? I won't be a politician. Three words. Abortion is murder. Now, I know people who've had abortions. I love people. Some of them have had very struggles since then, okay? So I'm not picking on people. Something that happened in the past, we can't go back and say, that was... No, don't have another one, okay? Abortion is murder. Caroline Leavitt is pro-life. Chris Pappas is pro-abortion, which is murder. Now, Chris Pappas is my congressman. If you check on our prayer list, we pray for our congresspeople, we pray for our senators, we pray for our president and for our vice president by name, whether we like them or whether we don't like them, we're supposed to pray for them and we love them. Now, it doesn't mean we agree with what they're doing. It doesn't mean that we wish that we had somebody different and we could vote for somebody different. We need to pray for those people. Dom Bolduc is pro-life. Maggie Hassan is pro-abortion. Maggie Hassan is my senator. Okay? She is for murdering the unborn. Now, on election day, we have a choice to make. God, would you show me which of these two would you choose? Bob Burns is pro-life. Annie Custer is pro-abortion. Bob Burns wants little babies to be born. Dom Bolduc wants little babies to be born. Caroline Leavitt wants little babies to be born. Chris Pappas, Maggie Hassan, and Annie Custer want you to have a choice to murder them. That's pretty frank. It is pretty frank. That's what happens. Well, abortion will be rare and legal and safe. Listen, if I told you I'm going to give you a $1 bill every once in a while, but it's going to be rare, and you had $60 million, that's not rare. Okay? That's a lie. Anybody have $60 million? If I said, I'm going to give you a dollar, but it's going to be rare. That's not rare. It's an industry. Now, let's wonder what God's position is. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. God has an opinion on the matter. He said in Exodus chapter 20, you remember those Ten Commandments, the ones that they want to take off the courthouse walls and they want to kick them out of schools and everything? There's a real simple one. It's real three words long. Thou, well, there I go, three words. Four words long, all right? Thou shalt not kill, all right? I didn't finish the sentence. I caught myself. Some people don't. Thou shalt not kill. That's four words. That's pretty simple. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. God is pro-life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, could we know God's will for that important issue? I've listened to the debates. I've met at least two of those politicians. I'd like to meet all of them, so you're welcome. We'll have a cup of coffee. Now, anybody on that list? I've listened to the debates. I've watched the same nauseating ads that you have. In general, okay, in general. Yeah, I didn't get any mail yesterday. I told my wife, the mailman was late, and he drove right by. I said, well, at least we won't get any political ads today, right? In general, one party is the party of death. The party starts with the letter D. General. And one party in general, not all the time, is the party of life. Now, it's your responsibility to do the homework, okay? What is our responsibility in voting? Your vote is your stewardship. Could we take the approach that the church did in this serious matter? God, would you show me? What would your choice be? Well, thou shalt not kill. That's a starting point, okay? Look, taxes, you know, whatever. I think life is the linchpin. If you don't have life, you don't have liberty. If you don't have life, you don't have the pursuit of happiness. If you don't have life, you don't have anything. Last point. Sometimes we get the basest of men. You know, it's interesting in Jeremiah 43, God called Nebuchadnezzar in verse number 10, my servant. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Oh, that ruthless king who destroyed Jerusalem? Yep, my servant. He was chastening my people. Ahab was permitted to be king in Samaria in the time of Elijah the prophet. 1 Kings 16, verse number 33. God permitted Ahab to be the king. Whatever happens when the lot is cast on Tuesday, you and I are still supposed to serve the Lord. Hey, whatever happens on Tuesday, I am required of Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's my requirement. Win, lose, I'm required to do that. Whatever happens, we are to be the salt of the earth. Whatever happens, you and I are to be the light of the world. Whatever happens, Jesus Christ is still King of kings and Lord of lords. Whatever happens, the Bible says this, which in his time he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Jesus Christ is still in charge, whatever happens. He is the risen Savior. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is coming again for his own. He is the ruler of the universe and the judge of all the earth. In 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. He's not running for office. He doesn't need to be elected. You can't impeach him. He's not going to resign, and he's never going to die. Whatever happens, Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I'm just going to keep on serving God. Now, I hope there's a good outcome, what I think, in the opinion that I have. I hope so. Am I an election denier? I'll go down as a yes. You can call me a yes. Give me a yes. If you want the details, I'll give you those too. But what happens? You know what? God wanted the people in charge that are in charge. I don't like it all the time. But God put them there. Why? I said, a recent election, I said, God has given us a space of grace right now. Listen, if things are freedom-loving people, patriotic, family, life, if that all wins on Tuesday, listen, it's not time to say, okay, let's just go back and hit the snooze button. It's time to say, you know what, God has given us a little bit more time to get busy for him, telling people about Christ. God has given us a little bit more time to get the gospel out. God has given us a little bit more time to have freedom and liberty, and we need to use it responsibly and not be lazy Christians.